Well, let's turn to Psalm 103 one more time. Read a few verses of scripture there. Psalm 103, verse 1. Psalm of David. Just think, somebody that lived, you know, several thousand years ago. We still read words that he put down. He was a person just like you and me. He had junk in his life happen. Obviously, they have it recorded for us. He was a king of Israel, but he was just a person. But he believed God. He didn't have anything special, necessarily, that we don't have. He just chose to believe God with the revelation that he had back then. You know, Jesus hadn't died at that point, but they had prophesied a coming Savior. And David just chose to believe God. And in spite of the troubles he went through when he was all alone out in the wilderness, when people were trying to kill him, had to act like he was crazy, different things, he just chose to believe God. He had a relationship with God. He wrote things down here, and we still read them today. That's amazing. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." That'll make it on the recording, that train that's on there every once in a while. Praise God. But it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And we've been talking, of course, about just essentially we're talking about just maintaining our focus on God, or maintaining our focus on him and all that he's done. And, you know, we don't look at God as some kind of slot machine or some kind of thing. We come up and pull a lever and get whatever we need out. We're supposed to have a relationship with God. And because we have a relationship with him, I mean, just like a good father and being would take care of his children, God has provided everything we need to be successful in this life. And of course, he's provided our eternal salvation. And so he has provided all these things, and the world is constantly trying to make us, just pull us away from God. And so we're just talking about different avenues, different tools, different things that God has given us to maintain our life and not to forget, practically speaking, what he's done for us and to forget all the goodness in the relationship with him. And so we've gone over some of these things, but really just different coming to church, praising God, remembering what he's done for us in the past. I want to talk about another thing that really is essential to the Christian life, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and specifically the thing that goes with that, speaking in tongues, the evidence, which is the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, has a lot of things that it changes in your life, boldness, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, different things flowing. But God has given us the ability to speak in tongues and really to bypass our natural mind, to bypass our natural understanding, and to pray out mysteries, pray out things. It's as if he's praying through us because he is praying through us. God knows everything. And so when we can go, and when we feel like things are maybe stressful or just maybe unsettled, or just when things are going well, when we pray in other tongues, we are praying out God. We are yielding ourselves for God to pray through us. He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly our situation, and so he's praying through us and praying things out that need to be prayed out. God is all powerful and he's sovereign, but he doesn't do, because of his own word and because of the way he sets things up, and I don't want to get, you know, completely on a side journey here, but Adam was given the ability to rule the earth. You know, and God gave him dominion. And he basically bowed his knee to Satan. Satan came and tempted him. Satan wanted a way. He wanted to be worshipped. He was jealous of Adam. He came and tempted Adam and Eve, and they yielded to the devil. And the Bible says in another place that he is the god of this world. And he has become, the devil is the god of this world. Now, God or he owns the world. He created the world, and through Jesus has redeemed us. But Satan, you know, people wonder why the world's in such a mess and everything. Well, if it's God that has everything under control, why does he let certain things happen? God doesn't just make everything happen. See, that's way over on one side. It's not that we have control of everything and it's all up to us, but on the other ditch is that God just does everything. See, when you have that mentality, then there are people that believe this. It's on the one ditch. On the one side and the one ditch, they believe God is in control of everything. So if somebody in your family dies, well, God took them. If your dog got hit with the car, you know, well, it's God. Every little thing, God is in control of everything. It's not true. And that confuses a lot of people. They think, well, gosh, if God's in control, he's sure got in a mess. That's true. He's not in control of everything. Now, God is ultimately in control of the universe, but because he set things up, the devil has reign. Devil's going to be thrown into the lake of fire at one point. He's not going to have reign forever. But right now, there's a lot of people yielding to him. And so people that yield to him are giving him power to do. There's a lot of people that listen to the devil. Now, they wouldn't say, you ask them, they wouldn't say, you know, they look at you weird. I'm not listening to the devil, but you're either listening to God or you're listening to the enemy. He influences people. And so he gets his job done through influencing people. God gets, he needs, this goes against religious thinking, but God needs people on the earth to yield to him to get what he needs to get done in the earth. He committed the gospel to men, to preach the gospel and to get that word out. And so God doesn't just come and do everything on the earth. He works through men. He works through people. We pray things, and he's given us authority. Jesus said, you know, all authority has been given unto me, go therefore and preach the gospel. He's given us authority because of the authority he has to go and preach the gospel. So when we talk about praying in other tongues, we are praying out the will of God. He can pray through us, so God knows what needs to be done. And he wants the right thing to be done. And so when we yield ourselves to him, we're yielding. Now, you don't have to, we'll get to this. You can pray, be praying led by the Holy Spirit, whether it's in English or whether it's in tongues. But sometimes we don't know what to pray for, and so our mind is being limited, and you run out of things in English. Well, God knows exactly what needs to be prayed for, and so you bypass your mind. You pray what needs to be prayed for. He prays through you and can get the job done. Now, when you're talking about when you don't know what to do, or you're just feeling yourself kind of getting stressed, or you're feeling that, just like what we started with, that practically speaking, these benefits, all the things that God has promised us and made real in our lives through Jesus, they're just not, they seem far off, or they don't seem practically like they're working. A good thing to do is just to pray in tongues about it. Now, it doesn't give you any thrills in your head. Your head does not know what's going on. It takes faith. But just the very act of yielding yourself to pray in other tongues brings you back to the truth of God. Because you focus, you're putting down, see, if your flesh and your senses are telling you something and saying, you know, forget not all his benefits. It's looking, you're tempted to act like some of his benefits aren't true. He's not going to take care of you, or, you know, something in your body is telling you that he hasn't taken care of you physically, or, you know, some relationship or whatever. The act of you going and praying in tongues is putting your flesh aside and doing something that doesn't make any sense to your head, because you're praying in a tongue you don't understand. Your flesh does not necessarily want to stop and pray in other tongues. You are making it, so by the very act of you praying in other tongues, you're shutting your brain down and you're shutting your flesh down, and that very act puts your focus back on God. Right there. It will help you, just whether you're in the car, wherever, you start praying in other tongues, you are doing something that goes against natural reasoning. Which is why people, you know, they make fun of it. We've all seen it. I mean, I've seen it on comedy shows. Stuff. Praying in other tongues. It's because they don't understand it. I mean, God is praying through you. And yeah, there's excesses. You give certain things into the hands of humans, there'll always be a segment of the population that gets weird with it. Always. No matter what it is. People say, oh, well, the Christians are weird. You don't have to be a Christian. Look at the kind of, there's weird people that are atheists. I mean, it doesn't matter. People get weird with anything. In anything, people always take it to an extreme or always get flaky with it. And so sometimes people that are a little weird, Then they get saved, then they're a little weird afterwards. It's not the Christianity, it's just humans. But sure enough, if somebody wants to attack a group, they're going to attack the people that, you know, maybe are looking, are those people that are part of the group that are the fringe or part of it. That's where stereotypes come from, you know? It's like, well, these people are representative of the whole group. No, they're not. But human beings being what they are, you know, so some people get weird with speaking in tongues and whatever. They get all flaky with it, and so then it reflects on the whole thing. People say, oh, that's just, some people say it's of the devil, or it's just weird. No, think about it. If you're the devil, and we have this powerful weapon where God Almighty can pray through us and bypass our minds, and God can get His will done in the earth in spite of our limited knowledge. If the devil knows that, one thing he can do to stop it is discredit it so that people don't do it. They think it's weird. They think, oh, people that do that, they're being weird, or it doesn't really do anything, or any number of things. It's not really doing you any good, or it's just religious. So people don't. Whole segments, whole denominations speak against it. Well, it's in the Bible, and our purpose today isn't to go through, we're going to read a few scriptures, but the early church spoke with other tongues. Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke with other tongues. You know, the whole early church did, and it's vital. It's not an option. It's not something that, well, you get born again, and if you really want to. No. The Bible says, let's turn over to Acts. I'll read some scriptures. Let's turn over to Acts 2, 1 through 4. You know, we could speak on a lot of angles on speaking with other tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My focus is in your practical life, to keep yourself stirred up, one way to do it is to speak in other tongues. You feel like your faith is waning, speak in other tongues. God is praying out the perfect will for you at that point. You can't pray any more efficiently than in other tongues. Now, there are times we need to speak in English, of course. We're not dismissing that. But sometimes you just need to speak in tongues about a situation. You're getting things done, whether you feel like it or not. Acts 2, 1 through 4. Well, let's go back to Acts 1. Let's go back to verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 4. So, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. So see, they told him, this is Jesus, he told the disciples, don't go out and start telling people about me. Wait for the promise of the Father. See, it's something that they needed. And if they need it, look at the results they got. They evangelized the whole world. We need it, I guarantee you. That's one reason why sometimes the church isn't effective, is because we preach against it. And this is what got the results that people saw back then, is because they had the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's kind of a side thing. See, the Israelites, they didn't realize there was two comings of Jesus. So when he came back, they thought, okay, you're setting up your kingdom now. So there's a gap. He came back. Now there's the church age. Then he's coming back again. Then he's going to send up his kingdom. But they didn't know that. And so they're just asking a question. And he said to him, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. He gets back to the point then. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He said, don't go anywhere. You need the power. You need this in your life. And see, when we're trying to live a Christian life, it's impossible to live just in ourselves. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not an option. No, we need it. We need, if it was good enough for the early church and God and Jesus said, wait, don't do anything, then we need it, because we're just a continuation. He didn't change anything. This is the beginning of the church, and this the same instructions are for us. So let's skip to chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound." Hold on. Yeah, look back. Just for information. Go back to chapter 1, verse 12. This is upper room, and it's the same thing. You know, when they were in the same room, basically, this is where they're waiting. So Jesus addresses these people. I just want to read to you the people that were there, all the people, the who's who of the early church. They're all there. Chapter 1, verse 12. "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers." So they're all there. These are the people that are gathered in the upper room, and these are the people that got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. That blows some denominations away. Chapter 2, verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So everybody there was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God doesn't take control of our mouth and make us speak. He gives us utterance. He inspires it. It's like right now, I believe what I'm speaking is from God. He's not making me speak. I can stop. But I can start again. And I'm speaking under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Well, when you're speaking in tongues, it's not like he takes your mouth and just makes you start speaking and takes you over. No. He just inspires it. We have to speak it out. We have to move our mouth. But it's some language that we start feeling we hear. You can, in your head, it just kind of bubbles up from the inside, not from your head, because you can't generate it. It's from your heart, and you just start speaking out. Just like, I don't always know everything I'm going to say, but I start saying, and the utterance is there, and it keeps going. It's the same thing. When you speak with other tongues, you start speaking. It's bypassing your head. You bypass your head and you start speaking out, and you are speaking out of your spirit this language, so the Spirit is giving utterance. Well, the Spirit is giving utterance and speaking in something you don't know what you're praying. It's God praying through you the perfect will for whatever needs to be prayed for. It takes you out of the picture. I mean, do you see how powerful that is? God Almighty, we're yielding ourselves to Him to get done what He needs to do. He's saying, I know what needs to be done. He knows exactly what needs to be done. And if we're feeling discouraged or off or things are looking hazy, like, you know, what we're focusing on here, forgetting not what God has done, God knows the root. He knows exactly why it's fogging us up. And if we need revelation or whatever, we start speaking in tongues, stuff comes and gets adjusted. And like I said, the very act of doing that goes against our reasoning, so it puts us back in a position where we're just yielding ourselves to God and keeps us strong, keeps us built up. Let's turn to Jude 20. Jude 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Now, you could pray in the Holy Spirit in English, but you also pray in tongues. And we're going to read another scripture. Praying in the Spirit, praying with our understanding, praying in the Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is inspiring. Some people just break that down. Well, that's not speaking in tongues. Well, we know that the early church spoke in tongues. We know it. We read it. I mean, I could give you, you know, several other scriptures in Acts, which is not, we're not going off that today, but we know they spoke with other tongues. So, but it's completely in line, you know, to say that this is building ourselves up. Because you know you can speak in other tongues, you can pray by the Spirit or with your understanding, so we know that. So when we pray by the Holy Spirit, one of the avenues is praying in other tongues. Verse 20, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until unto eternal life." Eternal life. So he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, he's talking about building yourselves up, praying in the Holy Spirit. The praying in the Holy Spirit, it edifies us, builds us up. We're praying out the will of God. We're yielding ourselves to our spirit. We come more aware of spiritual things than natural things. Because like I said, at the beginning, you're turning off your head. You're turning off your flesh. Somebody said like this way, that praying in other tongues is the gateway to the supernatural. You pray in other tongues, it just makes you aware of the supernatural realm. That God is with you, that he's flowing through you. When you're aware that things that you're speaking are speaking out things that God is ordaining and God is praying, that's exciting. It may not be exciting to your head at that point, but then God can give you, he can give you phrases, he can give you direction. He doesn't have to do it in words. This happened to me many times. You have a problem in your personal life or at work or wherever. You don't know how to solve it. You start praying in tongues about it. And then you know what to do somehow. You have an image of how to fix. You think it's just you. If you're not careful, you just think, oh, I'll do this on that. Or you're just praying in the middle or afterwards or maybe, you know, the next day. But something comes and, hey, I'll do this. This is how I should fix that problem. This is what I should say to that person. You're praying those things out. Just because it comes, it doesn't have to come in words. It can come in pictures. It can come in audio. It can come in all kinds of different things. But God, His will is being done, and He knows how to get things across to us. Let's turn back to Romans. And sometimes, you know, we just need to stir ourselves up to exercise praying in tongues, and it's easy to not, but we can do that anywhere. Because it's not your understanding. You can do it while you're driving. You can do it while you're at work. You really can on certain things. You know, you don't want to take away from what you're doing. But there are times you can be doing something. Your mind's not engaged. You can get to the place where you're just praying your tongues in tongues under your breath. And you actually probably work better. Because God's, you know, helping you. But we can pray all the time. Romans 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Somebody said it like this, or I mean another translation says cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, the Spirit knows. He helps us in our weaknesses. When we don't know what to pray for, or don't know exactly what to do, He does. And we've talked about, you know, God will direct you through praying in tongues. We've talked about that. You know, like we talked about before, when you don't know what to do, you know what to do. Pray in other tongues about it. You'll get direction. You'll get guidance. When you feel like stuff is not going, a good thing to do is pray in other tongues. It's not like we try to figure everything else and then come back to praying in other tongues. If we pray in other tongues about it, we'll get our answers. We'll get direction. We'll get built up. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. That's not a bad confession. We have weaknesses. We have things that we're not perfect in. We have blind spots. We all have stuff like that. And the Spirit of God is to help us in our weaknesses. And see, we are, in ourselves, we're not complete. But with Jesus, we are. And when we walk in His will for our lives, being led by the Spirit, conscious of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, and when we pray in tongues, He leads us and guides us and makes it more clear, it makes up the difference. We may not be the smartest. We may not be the quickest. We may not be the most educated. But when you have God Almighty living inside of you and you're praying out mysteries, you're yielding to Him and He's praying out what needs to be done in your life, now it's not you anymore. It's God Almighty praying the perfect will for our lives. And at that point, it's God and us. God and any one of us versus, I don't care who it is a majority. Because God Himself cannot be defeated. So we yield ourselves to be praying in tongues. It helps us maintain what we need to be doing for Him. It says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's very clear in a situation. We go by what the Word says, and we pray. But even this, now this is a thing. See, even if we know what the Word says about something, it does. The Word doesn't tell us what to do in our specific situation. It doesn't tell us the implementation. And I believe that a lot of people, see, we hear certain things in the Word. And so we say, okay, fine. And then we hear how somebody did, so, like let's say it's healing, or you know, some let's say it's something in a job or whatever. You hear what they did in a situation. And you know it's promised in the Word. And so you, like healing. And so you say, okay, well that's the way. I'm going to do it like that. Or I'm just going to take it and do it. We don't go. We've skipped this step a lot. I'm convinced of this, why we don't see some results. We know what the Word says, and instead of going to Him and saying, okay, God, I know what Your Word says. You know how exactly to carry this out, and to spend the time praying in tongues, praying, but getting exactly how we should attack a problem, we just jump in because we don't want to waste any time, and we just, no, I'm going to believe. But are we in faith? Are we at the place where we believe? We may even believe, but God will give you divine direction. You know, it may be something just totally natural. You're trying to believe this. Let's say it's healing in something. You're trying to, I know God's will is for me is to be healed, so I'm just going to believe. And if we just spend some time just looking to Him, He would say, just change this in your diet or change this one thing. That's what's causing everything. It's right here. He knows. And we're trying to go this uphill battle, trying to do things when God, in His infinite wisdom, bypass all that and He has the answer. I'm not saying we have to get on our knees and spend hours and hours. I'm just saying, God, it's, again, like we said at the beginning, He's not like this big slot machine. It all starts with a relationship with Him. If we know Him, and He's guiding us and leading us in His perfect will for us, part of that is, hey, God, I know that You have this benefit for. I know that it's Your will. Am I missing something here? What should I do in this situation? What is the thing? What am I missing? And He'll show us and guide us and help us. The Holy Spirit is there. He's the comforter. He's the counselor. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 14. It's a lot. 1 Corinthians speaks a lot about speaking in other tongues. I just want to read a couple verses there. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. You know, just what we were talking about, but 1 Corinthians 14, 4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And he's talking about prophecy and tongues. But I want you to see, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, builds up. And we're talking about when we forget, we're talking about maintaining our view and our proper perspective. When we're getting off and it's looking fuzzy or whatever, speaking in tongues edifies you. It builds you up. It makes you stronger. In verse 15, chapter 14, verse 15, it says, for if I pray in a tongue, again, in this context, he's talking about in church, and he's talking about praying in tongues versus speaking in the different things in the public gifts, but all this applies to speaking in tongues individually as well, and I just wanted to bring out some of those points. In verse 14, it says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. So verse 14, this is what we're saying, that if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So your mind doesn't necessarily jump up and down when you're praying in other tongues, but your spirit is praying. And so it takes an act of faith just to yield to the Spirit and to pray. But what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. So I can pray with tongues. I will also pray with understanding coming out of my head, praying the Word. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. But you can also sometimes, you don't know what to pray, you can pray in the Spirit, and then you know what to pray in English. Same thing. Like we were just talking about, like with healing or something. You know what the Word says. You know that by His stripes you were healed. But instead of jumping in and saying, okay, I'm just going to claim it and go, we spend some time praying in other tongues. Spend some time praying a little bit. and then we know the direction to pray in English. And that's an application. Sometimes you're praying in other tongues and things come up. You could have phrases come up that to pray out in English. There's just it's such a powerful weapon, and sometimes I think we negate it. We can ignore it. We can know to pray with other tongues, but we don't actively do it. Let's turn to one more scripture, Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 17. Well, here's where, you know, in verse 10 and so forth, he's just saying, given all the armor, the different tools that we have, you know, your feet shod with the gospel of the peace. And then he says, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So he's saying in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God we can take as an offensive weapon and get done what needs to be done. But also, praying in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. When we don't know what to do or we feel, we don't know what's going on, we can pray in the Spirit and stuff's getting done. It's offensive. Whether we know it or not, God is praying through us and stuff that we don't know what's going on is happening. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. All prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So, praying in tongues is such a powerful weapon that the devil wants to try to discourage us from using. That won't be good. Oh, well, I have to try to figure stuff out, and then I'll get to the place, well, maybe I'll pray in other tongues. If we'll put it up in the arsenal, put it more at the top of the list. Pray in tongues when we don't know what to do. Pray in tongues when we're not sure about a situation. Pray in tongues when we're feeling discouraged. When we're feeling like something in our life isn't going the way it should, according to God's word. We don't know what to do about a situation. We'll pray in tongues. It brings clarity. It brings peace. The presence of God. You put your flesh down, put your mind down, and just spend some time praying in other tongues. You are just the presence of God. You're putting yourself right before Him. God, I don't know what to do, but You do. I may be feeling, you know, like this part, something isn't true in Your word, but I'm going to pray about it. You're just setting yourself up, putting yourself right before Him. Drawing life from Him. Like the scripture says, building yourself up in your most holy faith. Building yourself up. And this is a way to stay at the place maintained where we don't forget what all He's done for us. Starts to wane. You feel like you've leaked or whatever. Part of it, yes, we read the word. Yes, we do these things like we've talked about. Yes, we come to church. Another avenue is pray in tongues. It's like a power plant. We pray in tongues. Pray in tongues for the church. Pray in tongues for the people on your job. Pray in tongues for your family. You don't know what's going on in the situation. Pray in tongues. God knows. We're doing stuff in the spiritual realm. Especially for other people. When you don't know what to pray for them, you're like, I don't know exactly what's going on there. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues for them. So we're going to spend some time right now just doing that. But if nothing else, just to stir ourselves up to move it. To move praying in tongues up the ladder to where it's one of our first things we go to. Along with these other things we talked about, praising God, you know, praising Him for past victories, etc. But praying in tongues is very real and it's an essential part of our arsenal. It's not optional. Thank God.